Well, good morning, Active Church. How are you guys? Oh, come on, that was weak after a song like that. How are you guys? You feeling good? Hey, my name is Josh, and I'm excited this morning I get to share the message with you today. Did everyone have a good Christmas? Isn't it crazy? It's all over now. All that work? Jeez. Hey, before we get started, can we give it up for our pastor, Adam Magana? Man, I'm so thankful to have a pastor that loves God. He leads by example. He's anointed. And man, he has fun living for God. Right? Man, I love him, and I'm believing that God's going to use you to take this church to the next level in 2019. And man, aren't you thankful for Active Church? I say it every time that I'm up here, but I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful that it's not just a church that we come to on Sundays, but for my family, it's a church that we do life with. And it's more than a church, it's become a family. And I'm so thankful for this church and for our friends and family here. And I believe the best is yet to come in 2019. What's going on here is special. It's unique. And for church plants, what's going on here is not typical. We had over 300 people accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in our first year of being here at Active Church. That's awesome. And the best is yet to come. Can someone say amen? Hey, I want to go to a scripture real quick. Don't worry, I only have three scriptures I'm going to share today. So just sit back and relax. We'll get through three and then we'll go home. But my scripture is Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And it says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And we pray that you change our hearts in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Hey, there is nothing better to me than a good comeback story. You guys love comeback stories? I can sit there and watch comeback stories on television nonstop. I just watched a 30 for 30 on ESPN about the Celtics and the Lakers back in the 80s, and it was Magic Johnson and Larry Bird and them battling each other and overcoming injuries. And man, just talking about the comeback story of the Lakers and the Celtics. I love stories where you see people that get knocked down, but then they get back up, right? I love to hear stories where people lost everything, and then they got back up and found a life that they never thought was imaginable. They experienced pain in life, and then they found a life that they never had before. Comeback stories are awesome. I love them. I love the story of Abraham Lincoln. You guys know Abraham Lincoln, right? I hope you do. President of the United States, founding father, the historic speech known as the Gettysburg Address, the Emancipation Proclamation. We know Abraham Lincoln as a great success in life, right? We strive to reach that level of greatness that he experienced. But when you read the story of his life was full of pain and struggle and defeat. Abraham Lincoln was born into poverty. Did you know that he ran for office 8 times and lost before he won and became president of the United States? Abraham Lincoln, in his life, he had a nervous breakdown. He started 2 businesses that failed. I mean, he experienced some defeat in his life, and that failure was the path that led him to be president of the United States. That's a good comeback story, right? How about you ladies? Have you heard of Martha Stewart? Maybe. Martha Stewart, you remember 2004, the Martha Stewart empire crumbled. She was found guilty of conspiracy, lying to the FBI, obstruction of justice. She served time in prison. And if you read about that period of time in her life when she was found guilty, she lost almost $500 million of her wealth during that period of time when she was convicted of the crime. But when she got out of prison, Martha Stewart came back. She started a television show. She started homeware lines in several stores. And today, her net worth is over $1 billion with a B. Her net worth is more now than it was before she was convicted of her crime. That's a comeback story. For all you football fans, Kurt Warner, do you know Kurt? You know the quarterback of the greatest football team ever, St. Louis Rams? Yeah, yeah. Kurt Warner was working at a grocery store, making $5 an hour, and the next year led the St. Louis Rams to a Super Bowl victory and was the MVP. Comeback stories. You can Google comeback stories and read all day long of people that experienced failures, and then they experienced success. You know what I notice about every comeback story that I read? That every comeback story required a next step. Someone that experienced failure, someone that experienced defeat, and they rose above that and they experienced success. They didn't experience success until they took what I like to call a next step. Every fall and every rise to fame required someone to take a next step. Every failure that turned into a life never imagined started with a next step. Started with someone that wouldn't allow their hurt to define the rest of their life. Someone that that found the strength and the courage and the boldness to rise above their setback in life and pursue life with more passion and energy and vigor than before their failure. It's crazy that we're entering 2019 already, right? Like, what happened to 2018? It flew by. And I believe that 2019 can be your greatest year ever. I believe 2019 can be the greatest year of my life. And I believe that God has great things in store for this church. I believe that God has great things in store for you in this coming year. But we'll never experience those great things in 2019 unless we take action on our part. See, nothing just happens. And just like every great comeback story begins with the next step, the success of 2019 hinges upon the steps that we take today. The success of our next year, it's all contingent upon the steps that we take in our lives today. We're talking next steps this morning because everyone in this building has a next step. Yours may be different than mine. Yours may be more difficult than mine. But regardless of how old you are, regardless of how young you are, regardless if you're married or you're single, doesn't even matter how far away from God you are or how close you are to God, everyone in this room has a next step. And as we enter into this new year, to 2019, I believe that God is challenging us today to take the next step. It's kind of an awkward time, right? This past week, like, Christmas was over. We're heading into 2019. We're wrapping up last year, getting ready to start a new year. It's kind of a time of transition, right? At work, we've been reviewing our accomplishments and challenges of last year. And then at the same time, like the very same meeting, we're planning ahead and preparing for 2019. And as I look back over 2018 for my life, and for my family's life, man, it was a crazy year. My wife experienced some serious health issues. We were blessed with a baby, healthy baby boy. We call him Bubba. Our family has grown this year. We've had an awesome 2018, and this has kind of been a period of time where we kind of reflect back on last year, but at the same time, we're looking ahead. And as we look back and we look ahead, I want us to just pause a moment this morning and just be real and be raw And just, I want to ask an honest question. How are you with God? How's your spiritual journey? How's your relationship with God, like honestly? Like if you were to be real and honest with yourself and with God, how's your relationship with God? You know, everyone is talking about New Year's resolutions. How many do New Year's resolutions, goals for 2019? I tried to sit down at the table with my family and say, okay, what's our goals for 2019? And they thought I was dumb. Like, we're not into that. So I have my own goals. We'll just leave the rest of them out of it. But everyone's talking about New Year's resolutions. And one of the top, if you Google this, one of the top New Year's resolutions, it's always health and fitness, right? Did you know that the average U.S. adult spends $155 a month on health and fitness? Gym membership, protein, pre-workout, healthy food, $155 a month on average the U.S. adult spends on health and fitness. I hate going to the gym in January, right? Everyone that hasn't been there the entire year decides to show up, take up all the equipment. I want to tell them, just, it's not going to last, dude. Just go. Make room. I'm kidding. I believe in you. That's you. I believe in you. This is your year. But while everyone is talking about New Year's resolutions and goals around our physical health, I wonder if this morning we could just pause and just take a look and reflect on our spiritual health. How are you with God? For some of you, maybe it's awesome. Maybe you feel closer to God than you've ever been. But if we were honest, there's probably some that are dealing with different things. Maybe you're dealing with some doubt. Maybe in your relationship with God in this Christian journey, you've been hurt and you're wrestling with that hurt and that pain. Maybe there's some on this journey that it's really been a struggle. Maybe you're struggling against an addiction or something that's in your, that you've been trying to overcome. Maybe it's a struggle. If you were to write down some words to describe your relationship with God right now, right here, what would those words be? Some it may be good and positive, and some, maybe it's a struggle. Maybe one of those words that you might describe your journey today is stuck. Have you ever been stuck? Not moving forward in your relationship with God. Not growing in your relationship with God, but at the same time, you're not drawing farther away. You're just stuck, kind of spinning your wheels. Same place that you've been for the last few months. I mentioned Bubba Luca. He's 8 months old now, and the other day I was watching him. Sylvia was gone, probably spending money, And I lost track of Luca. I got distracted. And I heard the loudest scream come out of Luca that I've heard, you know, since he was born. Like, it wasn't just a regular cry. Like, parents, you know, like, the cry he's just being fussy and you can just kind of ignore, turn the TV up a little bit. But then there's that cry where, you know, like, something's wrong. Like, he's hurt. And I ran and I was looking for Luca. And I got to tell you, like, in the back of my mind, I was more concerned about, like, Sylvia killing me that Luca got hurt while he was on my watch. But when I found Luca, we have these stairs in our house, and he was laying in between the stair and the couch. And he was on his back, and he was just frozen like that, stuck. And it was like he was scared to move any part of his limbs. He was just there, and he had to have thought that, like, his life was ending because he was squealing like a pig. Like, it was like a high pitch. He was stuck. Sometimes when you're stuck, you feel as if there's no escape, right? There's no way out. There's no hope. Don't worry, Luca lived. There were no broken bones. But if we're honest this morning, and we were to throw out some words that would describe our relationship with God, I think one word that we might all be familiar with is stuck in your relationship with God. Maybe confused in this journey of faith that we're on. Maybe a word that would describe that journey would be confused. I know that for me, living for God, sometimes it's easy to get confused. You have what the Bible says, but then you have what you're experiencing in life and the reality of life and the trials that come your way. And you get confused. God, you gave me this promise, but I'm experiencing this. Confusion. Miranda's turning 16 years old this year. She just passed her driver's permit last Friday. No, don't clap. That's dangerous. But we've been practicing driving with Miranda. And so I'm from the Valley. Moved here four years ago, I think. And in the Valley, we have tons of country roads where no one travels, and that's where I learned how to drive. Well, around here, I've found it difficult to find roads, like, with no people on them. Like, it's hard to find country roads that are, like, safe to let Miranda drive. And so I found this kind of remote neighborhood near to my house, and there's, like, 10 cul-de-sacs, and there's very few cars out there. And so I figured that was a good place for me to take Miranda to practice driving. And so we would literally just go from cul-de-sac to cul-de-sac. And then once we hit all 10, like, we'd go back up to the top and we'd do the same thing. And, you know, after a while, Miranda's getting a little more confident behind the wheel, a little more, like, she could do this. And she told me the other day when we were driving, she goes, "Can we go somewhere else? I feel like we're just going in circles. I'm not even going anywhere." And sometimes that's how I feel with God. Just going in circles, not making any progress. There's lots of activity, but no growth. Confusion. Sometimes that's an honest word that we can feel in this journey with God. How about frustration? Have you ever felt frustrated? Frustrated that things aren't working out the way that you thought they would. Maybe you were believing God for something and it didn't turn out the way you had prayed or hoped. Maybe that relationship that you've been fighting for and investing in didn't turn out like you thought it would. Maybe the job that you were hoping for didn't turn out. Frustrated. I've been paying my tithes and I'm not seeing any real change in my finances. Sometimes we can experience frustration in this thing we call Christianity. Or maybe you feel stuck, and that's caused you to be confused. And because you're confused, it's resulting in you feeling frustrated. So you're feeling all three. You're like, all the above, Josh. D, all the above, that's me. You know what? God's okay with all those feelings and all those questions and all those doubts. He can handle those. He says that that God knows your thoughts. And he's okay with those. We don't have to hide them. And if that's something that you're feeling this morning, you're in the right place. Because I felt that way. Adam has felt those feelings in life before. But how are you doing with God? I ask that question because all of us today have a next step that God's wanting us to take. But all too often, it's those feelings. It's those words. It's feeling stuck or feeling confused or feeling frustrated. It's that hurt that you experience, that pain from the relationship that's broken. It's all those things all too often that keep us from taking the next step that God has for us. They become a barrier and they block us from the next step that God has for us. And I want to go back to the first scripture that I read when we first started, Philippians 1:6. Paul says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work will finish it. I love that Paul uses the word confident. He doesn't say, I hope. He doesn't even say, I pray. But he says, I'm confident. I'm positive. Like, rest assured, without a doubt, that what God started in your life, He's going to finish it. He's going to finish it. Your hurt that you're feeling today isn't the end. Your pain that you may be feeling this morning, it isn't the end. The diagnosis that the doctor gave you isn't the end. What he started in your life, he will finish it. That's the promise that we have in Philippians 1:6. And I think Paul is speaking so confidently because in his life, he had experienced some trials. I mean, if you look at Paul's life, he went through some stuff. He had some experiences in his life. A high-level summary of Paul's life, you'll see that he was in prison for serving Christ and claiming that he knew him. Paul was flogged. He was beaten with a rod. He was stoned at one point. Not stoned like that. Like stoned with rocks. He was shipwrecked 3 times. Paul was continuously in hiding in danger of his life. He writes of being hungry and thirsty and in pain. And yet in all of those things that Paul experienced in his life, he writes this promise that you can be confident that what God started in your life, he will finish it. Sometimes in our Christian journey, we experience things that we would consider setbacks. Like we're doing good in life, going to church, taking our family to church, and we lose our job. Setback, right? Or you're living life, everything is good, and you get a diagnosis from the doctor that's not so well. Setback. And we experience things in life that we consider, from our perspective, as a setback. But you know what's crazy is that in God's economy, he calls them setups. They're not setbacks in God's view, God's perspective. They're setups for where he wants to take you and what he wants to do in your life. You can see it all through Scripture. I mean, you have Joseph. And God told Joseph, you're going to be a great leader. And the next day, Joseph's brothers beat him up, threw him in a pit. They decided to sell him into slavery. And then he was falsely accused and he was thrown in prison. And we see that as a setback. But God used that as a setup to move Joseph into a place of leadership and influence to fulfill the promise that he gave Joseph. David was a shepherd boy, and God called him to be a king. But David's job was tending sheep out in the field. We see that as a setback. Then David had to go fight a giant named Goliath. We see that as a setback. Like he's going to get tore up. He's going to get beat up. Setback. And then, even in the sin of David committing adultery with Bathsheba, we definitely see that as a setback. We see that as a disqualification. But God used all of the things that David experienced in his life as a setup to make David a great and mighty king. And he used it all at the end of David's life to say that David was a man after God's own heart. We see things as setbacks, but God uses them as setups. Jesus Christ, Savior of the world, crucified, setback. But God used that as a setup and as the cornerstone of our faith, knowing that on the third day, he rose from the grave, and that resurrection changed everything. It was a setup. So you may be stuck. You may be confused and frustrated. But I believe for us this morning that God's calling us to rise above those feelings, to rise above those hurts and those pains, and take a next step. Because where we are today doesn't compare to where God wants to take us tomorrow. And I don't want you to miss out on the blessings of tomorrow because you're hung up on the feelings of today. God has a future for you. He has great purpose for you. And that pain and that brokenness and that confusion and even your history, even your past, it's not a setback. It's a setup for where God wants to take you in life. The Bible says that all things work together for good. And God can take the bad and the ugly in your life and he can turn it around for good. Amen? I could hear some of you, even now, saying, Josh, that's all good. Next steps are all good, but I don't have a clue what my next step really is. And so in the context of trying to determine our next step, I want to look at a couple concepts that Paul teaches us in Scripture. And the first concept is simply this: wisdom. Wisdom. In Ephesians chapter 1, 17, it says, "Keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of" what? "The spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better." Paul's writing to the people of Ephesus, and we get a look into the prayer that he's praying for his people. And he doesn't say, "God, show them what to do." He doesn't pray, "God, show them what the next step is." But his prayer is that those people in Ephesus would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding. Why? So that they can know God better. Wisdom is, "God, show me who you are," not, "God, what do you want me to do?" Wisdom is, "God, let me know you more," not, "Where do you want me to go?" And as God reveals his character to you and I, it will reveal his will and what he wants for our life so that we could take next steps in life. I love the holiday season, being married to my wife and with the girls. I don't know what's happened to me, but I think I'm getting soft. Even this morning, I got up, got a cup of coffee, and I turned the Christmas lights on just to enjoy the Christmas lights one last time. London, my little one, we get in the truck, and it's mandatory that we listen to Christmas music, and I enjoy it. I don't know what happened, but we'll go down the road, you know, singing "Grandma Got Ran Over by a Reindeer," and just all jolly, ready for the holiday season. I love the holiday season with my family, but I got to tell you that Christmas is much more difficult being married to Sylvia than it was when I was single. See, when I was single, I was a gift card kind of guy. I would buy gift cards for everyone. Everyone would have money to buy whatever they wanted. And that was simple. I could do that in like one trip to the store. But Sylvia, she doesn't believe in gift cards. They're not personal enough. She wants gifts that are thoughtful and meaningful. And so you'll see me during Christmas time, like frantically searching for gifts that are meaningful. I can't get gift cards. But I know what Sylvia likes because I know her. And as you grow closer to God, you'll know what he likes and what he doesn't like. The next concept I want to look at is insight. Insight. Ephesians chapter 1 and 18, it says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you to." So that you may know the hope that he's called you to. He says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart," your spiritual eyes, "may be opened." Why does he want our eyes to be open? To know the hope of Christ Jesus. Because when you know God and your spiritual eyes are opened, you see things from a different perspective, don't you? You see things much different than maybe you once did before. And it seems weird. You can't explain it. And it's not normal. But all of a sudden, when the eyes of your heart are open, when your spiritual eyes are open, you can be in the midst of a trial. You can be in a bad situation and yet find hope in the midst of the storm. When your spiritual eyes are open. And that's Paul's prayer, that our eyes would be opened so that we could experience hope. I'll never forget when my mom was diagnosed with cancer. We had all gathered as a family there at the cancer center, and we met with the doctor. And the doctor gave the diagnosis, and it wasn't good. It was stage 4 cancer, breast cancer, and it had already spread to her lymph nodes. And I remember the diagnosis clearly, and what that could bring and the impact that it could have on my mom and on our family. But I remember even more clearly the doctor, after he gave us the diagnosis, he said, "If you wouldn't mind, I'd like us to all join hands now, and I'd like you to pray for me. And I'd like you to ask God to show me how to treat your mom and your wife." And all of a sudden, as we were in that hospital room praying with the doctor, I felt hope rise in that room. All of a sudden, I was well aware of the diagnosis, but all of a sudden, I looked at that diagnosis from a different perspective, from a different angle. I saw from maybe God's view, and all of a sudden, I experienced hope in the midst of a bad situation. And that's what happens when God opens our spiritual eyes. You say, Josh, you don't know my situation. You don't know my story. There's no hope in my situation. But I'm here to tell you that God can open the eyes of your heart this morning. And you may have came in here with no hope, but you can leave with the hope of Christ Jesus, knowing that what he started in your life, he'll finish it. He'll finish it. Have you ever looked at an optical illusion? You guys know what those are? Go ahead and bring the first one up if you would. This is an optical illusion. What do you guys see? You see a face? Okay. Got a face. What else do you see? Liar, right? Face and liar. Did everyone see liar? See that? Yeah. Let's go to the next one. What do you guys see here? That's a rabbit, Gunner. Come on. See the rabbit? What else? A duck. Rabbit and a duck. Let's go to the next one. What do you see here? Yeah, a musician playing a sax. What else? Do you see the face? There's a woman's face, right? Got one more. What do you see? I feel like we're in the eye doctor. Tell me what you see. Do you see it? Lift. Do you see the word lift? Yeah. Squint. Turn your head to the side. Lift. Optical illusions. You know what I love about optical illusions? Is that all of those images were there the entire time, and it just took you a while to see the picture. The words, the pictures, the animals, the sacks, they were all there the entire time. Nothing changed. It just took you a while to really focus. Maybe you had to squint your eyes a little bit, tilt your head to the side. But if you look just right, you could see it. And your life right now, you may not see it. You may not feel God in your situation. You may not think it's possible. But my message this morning is that you can experience hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he started in your life, regardless of what you're going through today, you can be confident that he'll complete it. You're not done. You're not finished. And don't let that hurt. Don't let that fear. Don't let that pain keep you. Keep you blocked in. Keep you imprisoned. And keep you from taking the next step into the greatness that God has for you and I in 2019. Amen? Amen. There's a story in the book of 2 Samuel. And it's about the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And it was so holy in the Old Testament that you couldn't even touch it because it was so holy. And it represented just the magnificent presence of God. And the story in 2 Samuel talks about how the Ark of the Covenant was held in captivity for over 20 years. And David was anointed king of Israel. And David's prayer, David's desire, was to go and capture the Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence of God and take it to the city of Jerusalem. And he wanted the presence of God to be the center of his leadership as king. So David and his men set off on a journey, and they went to get the Ark of the Covenant. And they built a brand new cart to set the Ark of the Covenant on so that they could carry it back to the city of Jerusalem. So they set the Ark of the Covenant on the cart, and they were on their way. David was doing what he thought God had called him to do, wanting to make God the center of his leadership. And the story goes that as they were traveling, that they hit a bump in the road, and the Ark of the Covenant started to fall off the cart. And one of David's closest men, his name was Uzzah, he grabbed the cart. And as he was trying to steady the cart from the Ark of the Covenant falling off, he touched the Ark of the Covenant, which you couldn't do. And instantly, Uzzah was killed right there in front of David. And David, just anointed king of Israel, excited about what was God was going to do in his life, he experienced hurt. He experienced pain. He was wounded. He was confused. He was frustrated. And David was so hurt that the Bible says that he took the Ark of the Covenant that he wanted to take to Jerusalem to be the center of his leadership. And David took the Ark of the Covenant to the house of a guy named Obed-Edom. And he took the cart with the Ark of the Covenant and he parked it at that house. And he left it there. And he said, if this is what living for God is all about, I'm done with it. I'm throwing in the towel. You can have the presence of God. You can have Christianity. You can have this God thing. I'm done with it. And the Bible says that he left the Ark of the Covenant at that house for over 3 months. And for 3 months of David's life, he was sidelined, sitting on the side, forgetting about the call and the purpose that God had on his life, all because of hurt and pain and confusion, frustration. But the Bible doesn't stop there. The Bible says that after that time period of David sitting on the sideline, that something happened. And the Bible isn't specific about what happened, but all of a sudden, David got encouraged. And he found enough strength to rise above that hurt and that pain. And he realized that maybe he got a glimpse of Jesus, and he realized that even though he had given up on God, that God hadn't given up on him, and he was still there where he left him. The Bible says that David got up, brushed himself off, and he went to the house of Obed-Edom and grabbed the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible says that he continued his journey to the city of Jerusalem with rejoicing and gladness. And I think that's a good illustration, a good story of where some of us may be this morning. Maybe we're sidelined. Maybe we had thrown in the towel on God. Maybe there's hurt and pain, and it's keeping us from taking the next step. But what happened to David, I believe, can happen to you and I this morning. We could experience hope in the midst of our situation and take that next step to experience greatness in 2019. Amen? Will you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, I thank you that your promises are true, that you'll never leave us and you'll never forsake us. God, we thank you for your promise that regardless of what we go through in life, that you can turn it all around and use it as a setup for where you're taking us. And Lord, I pray for strength. I pray for hope. I pray for boldness to arise in this room. And I pray that you would give us, God, the courage to take the next step into 2019 to experience the greatness that you have for us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen.